actually unconditional surrender of a devotee who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada quotes a line from the fourth shloka of Shikshastakam, namely, Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatat Bhaktir Ahaitukitvayi. That a Krishna consciousness person, he says, or he translates, is not even interested to break free from the cycle of birth and death. His motivation in life is to simply pray to the Lord to be engaged in his unconditional devotional service. So, in lecturing about the Shikshastaka prayers, it is my great and honest desire to help our devotees to gain more an understanding of the meaning of Krishna consciousness. It is hoped that this understanding will be able to give you more taste in Krishna consciousness, and as a subsequent something which follows to this, you will experience a more enlivened state of Krishna consciousness than it is already the case. So let us quickly start with a seminar, and please be so kind to attend the following lectures, even if you have a lot of service to do. Please try to arrange this your schedule in such a way that you will be free both for the morning and the evening classes for this which is intended to be like a seminar. I thought you hear every day lectures on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which cover a broad array of subjects. So in keeping with the tradition of a morning lecture, I also will speak about several philosophical issues. However, the difference is that these will all be presented within the context of the Shikshastaka prayers. Everyone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, of course, spoken in many issues. In his young days, he was well known as a scholar with a lot of erudition. But amazingly enough, he only left us 8 instructions in a written form. These 8 instructions cover the most essential points in Krishna consciousness, and they are also meant to be chanted regularly by devotees. Everyone who does so and prays like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does will surely develop a love of Krishna. There is no doubt. The first shloka in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 8 instructions reads as follow. Yadudara Panamarajanam Bhava Mahadava Kinivapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vitya Vadudivanam Anandam Budivadanam Pratipadam Punarmritas Vadanam Saravatmasnapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Do we actually have this translation in the Yugoslavian language? Maybe you could give it to Ilias, so, because he will have to read several verses and it will be much easier for him. I see you have to get it first. So I want to make sure that all this is recorded nicely for easy reading or easy hearing in you. So I will talk a little bit more before I read the translation. So, see, Krishna consciousness is actually effective at that moment when you do something or do your service with love for Krishna. That love or bhakti is actually the desired ingredient which will transform an ordinary activity into activity which becomes accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jiva Goswami writes about this in his Krama Sandharva commentary to the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can chant in two ways, actually. Or you can serve in two ways. You can eat prasadam in two ways. You can perform any of the processes of bhakti in two ways. One is kevala, that is only doing it. And the other is sneha sangyukta, that is doing it with love. The devotee who only does it without the specific ingredient of love of Godhead does not really reach such a high degree of I have to translate everything from this is from Sanskrit. His attainment, this is the English word, is not as high as someone who does it with love. For instance, if you chant Hare Krishna with some feeling of love or separation from Krishna, Moi Dragi Godaspadin, then you come very close to Krishna. I think you all have made that experience. If you just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you just chant it you put on your clothes, for instance, which is more or less an unattentive activity because you don't really have to think how to get in your shirt after doing it for 20 years. If you just do it more or less like that, it's not as intense as if you sit there and really want that something changes in your life, isn't it? And you feel so separated from Krishna. You feel like, oh, I'm in the ocean of birth and death, and I really have to get Krishna's bilas. I have to throw myself before his lotus feet. Then you are all of a sudden very near to the Lord. Do you have such an experience? Yes, no, middle, sometimes. Zale? about this. So, these 8 slokas, Prabhu's, Mataji's, can help you to get that feeling. Therefore, they are actually quoted by the Lord. They are instructions by the Lord, so that you can that you can chant in the proper way, that you can do also your slujpa service in the proper way. Therefore, please let us now hear with great attention this verse. And again, I want to say, please do not sleep, but think along. This is very important. Otherwise, you will not understand this, and if you don't understand this point, you will be missing out on something very important in your Krishna consciousness. Let there be victory, param vijayate, the supreme victory even, for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental jivat life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was once giving a lecture on this first verse of Shikshastaka when he was opening an educational school. And he was talking in his presentation about the fire of transcendental life. As you know, the example of fire has been often given when speaking about Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness has been described as the fire of knowledge which burns away the roots of karma which are there in our life. For instance, in the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's a fire of transcendental knowledge which burns away the karma. The process of Krishna consciousness has been compared also to fire in another sense. If you have iron, and if you have gold, Zlato. If you have gold, which is mixed with iron, you put it in the fire and you melt it until you can clearly separate the fire from, the iron from the fire. So our hearts is like that. We are actually originally Krishna conscious living entities. But due to our contact with the material energy, our consciousness is now polluted. So there are two things in our heart. A little gold, a lot of iron, unfortunately. It is mixed. Even when we are progressing on the path of Krishna consciousness, there is a desire which goes towards Krishna, and there is a desire which goes towards material things. You can understand this? You can feel this is the case? This has something to do with you? So this is important to you to hear this now. How to separate the dirty things within the heart from those pure from the pure soul, the Krishna consciousness of the pure soul. That is done by fire. This Sankirtan movement has been compared to a yajna. You know, a yajna is a fire. And this yajna, this fire, has seven flames. And these seven flames, which will help us purify our existence, are expressed here in this first verse of the Shikshastaka. Let us hear what they are. First, Mahaprabhu says, he talks of the, in this first verse, of the seven effects of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What is the first effect? Let us see if anyone has heard, understood the Shikshastaka verse. Atsa, I think you wanted to say something. Yes, yes. So, this very nice answer, very correct answer. The mirror of the consciousness becomes cleansed. It means that your consciousness becomes pure. This is the first effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, what means purity? I would like to have a definition from our devotees. What do you understand of purity? When you hear this word, what do you associate with it? See, we have to clear definitions. Bladan. What did he say? Material desires, you said. For material life? To become free from material life and material desires, Bhakta Vladan says. This is a very nice definition. Srila Prabhupada once gave an interesting definition of purity, which I want to reiterate before you. He said, it means to be on the spiritual platform, which is to understand that Krishna is the master and I am the servant. This means purity. It's Vladan has expressed it in a different way, but I thought this is a very practical understanding of purity. If you want to be pure in your consciousness, you do have to remember the reality that Krishna is the master and you are the servant. Actually, Krishna consciousness becomes very easy if one remembers this. If one forgets it, Krishna consciousness becomes difficult. So, we all are in our original identity. We are understanding this, and we act on this. In our original identity, there is really no scope or place for any other conception than being a blissful servant of Sri Krishna. There you have there you have the transcendental body, which has transcendental desires to serve Krishna in a variety of ways. It comes totally natural to you without even thinking or making like a conscious endeavor to remember this. It comes like Queen Kunti says, like a water which flows towards the ocean. Water never flows upstream. It just doesn't do it. it's not even a question for the water to think, but maybe I should flow in the opposite direction for a change, you know, since thousands of years I'm flowing this side, flowing down the hill. Maybe this is a little boring. I should just go upstream. This idea doesn't appear in the water. The dharma of the water, you can say, to be, of course, liquid, as we have, and then to flow to deeper levels. Water seeks its own level, what says in American English. It means it always flows in such a way that, you know, anyways, it means something else. Water flows, let us be simple, water flows in a downstreams. So in our pure identity, we are always remembering that. The Padma Purana states that Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya. So the chanting of the holy name, the mentality to act as master and not as servant, is destroyed. This is the effect. This is why we say the chanting of the holy name purifies our consciousness. It does so because it takes away the sinful mentality to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, and instills in us the mentality to act as a servant of Krishna. Therefore, if you really have chanted nicely your rounds in the morning, you do not have any problems to be humble and to be enthusiastic for your devotional service. Devotees who go out on Sankirtan book distribution know about this fact. They know that if they do not chant attentively their rounds in the morning, Shivas, this is for Sankirtan, then it is very difficult for them to act in a as a surrendered Sankirtan devotee. They practically, one has no chance if one has not chanted properly. Isn't it, Shivas? Yes. Yeah. It's a tiny, it's a secret. You must chant. The reason why this is so is because the chanting actually destroys the sinful tendency to enjoy separately from Krishna, and it makes you really enjoy, like, you feel very good to be a servant. This is the process about how it works. So, when you come into contact with the chanting of the holy name, if it is chanted in the proper way, your consciousness gets purified. Now, there are three things which are lying, which make our consciousness dirty. And I would like to ask you, what are these three things? This is a little psychological. You can, I think about it deeply, and then you know. I will give you a hint. Vladan has already expressed one, but now you please don't say anything, because you have one. Three things which make the consciousness impure. What could it be? Dirt? Like the dust of Beograd? No, that only gets to the body. Yes? Vaishnava aparat. Vaishnava aparat is a consequence or follows after these three things. We look for more basic things even. Daruka. Pohlipa, that means greed. No, pohlipa means lust, anger and greed. Yes, Daruka Prabhu, you have expressed it. But we want even more, a more general definition. You have given a very correct answer. Also, our Mataji has given a correct answer. Yes, Mataji? You have also given a correct answer, but still, we look for more general things. You are very specific. Yes, Mataji. to be afraid to surrender to Krishna? Yes, certainly, that is also a correct answer. We want to control and enjoy. Very nice, you have now given one, it's the spirit, the mentality to enjoy. That's one thing. We always have it. It's such a psychological factor. Like even when we want to sit in the best way possible. We want to eat, we want to have the Slatki Kuklica as much as possible. Isn't it? We want to sleep at the best sleeping place. We want to put the shower right in the right degree. It should be very warm, but not too hot. We manipulate with it. And we want to certainly, these things may not be even harmful. They are maybe necessary for living sometimes a healthy life, but we always want to enjoy. Always. Very good. You get a full point. Congratulations. Bhakta Uwe has the same. So there are three things, but all of you have said very nice. One is the material desire. Do you know what that is? Yes. Good. Material desire. Then let me enjoy. Then ungodly material activities. Like sometimes our friends ask us, is it important if we want to chant Hare Krishna to give up grech, sin? Sometimes they ask like this. Yes! If you purify your mirror of the heart and you always put dirt on it, it will never happen that it will be pure. So this material desires, the enjoyment spirit, and also ungodly activities lead the jiva to reject its true nature as servant of Krishna. So if you chant this Cheto Darpana effect, this cleansing the heart of the conditioned soul is exhibited, that the living entity gradually adopts the form as a servant to Krishna. By this chanting, when you cleanse something, another thing becomes visible. Imagine there is an object which was lying in the dirt in the Tsigoinen village and is caked with dirt. If you wash it, then you can find out, oh, it's an Arabian knife. So before that, it looked like a piece of some object, but now it looks like a very ornamented Arabic knife. This nice ornament. So if you cleanse the mirror of the heart, your original form becomes visible after some time. Your spiritual identity as a servant becomes visible and more and more. So when you become even expert in devotional service, you will enjoy more and more love to Krishna. So this is the first effect of the fire of Sankirtan. Isn't that wonderful, Prabhu? The second effect, what is the second effect of chanting Hare Krishna? Yes. Extinguish the fire of material life. Very nice, Baghdad Aleph. Very nice. Congratulations. Yes. It extinguishes the fire of the material existence. Now, what does this mean? The fire of material existence means the circle of birth and death. The material world we hear is a burning forest fire. Sangsara davana. Davanala means the forest fire of material existence. Forest fire is a very good example. Because when you have a forest fire, no one really knows how the forest fire came. It's very difficult to find the cause of the forest fire. Like, I remember in India, these forest fires happened quite often. You traveled through, I remember so often we traveled through forests in India, and all of a sudden a forest fire was there. One reason for a forest fire to start is that the air blows the bamboo rods together, and by the friction of the bamboo a spark comes, and then it falls into dry leaves, and as a result the fire comes. But what exactly it was, it's very difficult. Maybe it was some sutra, smoking a bidi, you know, can also be the cause of the forest fire. So, to give you an example, there was once a very foolish disciple who was told by his spiritual master, please bring some fire, we needed to make the yajna fire. So he couldn't find any fire. He came back to his spiritual master, said, sorry, I can't find any fire. So the spiritual master seemed, he was a little temperamental, it seemed. And he said, go to hell and find fire there. Because it's really easy to find fire. You just need to go to the next house. There is a housewife and she has fire because she needs to cook. So, then the disciple went to Lord Yamaraj and said, can I have a little fire? My guru needs a fire. And by the way, he said, how did this fire come here? I'm very interested because I want to bring him fire. Oh, my dear child, said Yamaraj, no one put the fire here. The fire of the hell comes by the wicked activities. Wicked, the word means bad activities, sinful, grech, activities of the conditioned souls. Not that someone put fire, phew, the hell burned. It came by the wicked desires of the conditioned souls. So this is actually a very, very philosophical answer of Lord Yamaraj, who, after all, is one of the 12 Mahajans. Or when we speak in philosophy about the forest fire of material, when we speak about the forest fire of material desires, The cause, what laid the fire, is actually the ungodly desires, or let us say the wicked or sinful desires. That is the cause of the fire. When we speak Sangsaradava Naralidalok, your spiritual master, you bring the clouds of mercy which extinguish the forest fire of material existence. We also understand that our spiritual master will help us to become free of material jealous, isn't it? Jealous. A very difficult word. Jealous. Desires. Material desires. Yes? Because that puts the fire. Why do people suffer? Why are they not in the temple? Why do devotees sometimes suffer? Feel cloudy in their consciousness. It's because of material desires. The fire has not stopped. There's even a song I remember from Come on baby, light my fire. Come on Maya, light my fire. You remember? From the Doors. Come on, Friday is a night on fire. The Friday night means for to enjoy material life. Dr. Brander remembers this song, yes? Yeah? The Kamis want this fire of material existence. Yes. This was actually like a modern point. Is not spoken in classical Vedic philosophy, this example. in Brahma Samhita, we actually hear that the first when one makes advancement, there is a stage called Anatta Nivritti. What is Anatta Nivritti? Who can please tell us? Srinivas Prabhu? Yes, this is a stage. When one comes and makes progress in Krishna consciousness, one becomes free from material desires. Now, in Rupa Goswami's description of sadhan bhakti, that is the bhakti which we do, he describes two effects which we can feel. One is klesha agni. Klesha means misery, and agni, everyone knows, it's fire. The fire of misery is actually extinguished by sadhan bhakti. And the second is Shubhada. It even says, Apana Sanskriting Gaurang Yang Nama Vinasho Grinan Tata Satyo Vimucheta Yat Vibheti Svayam Vayam. Living entities who are entangled in the net of birth and death can be liberated even by the unconscious chanting of the holy name, which is feared by fear in person. This is so nice. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra really can help us to become free of material life and material desires. So I will do one more effect. Actually, I wanted to do the whole shloka, but it is such an interesting subject matter that we can only I will go to the third effect of the third flame, so to say, of this bigger flame of the yagya. It is described as I think some of you know. Oh, very nice that you know. Rasipa, I think, means lotus flower, isn't it? No? Moon rays, yes. Yes, I think you have said it in the right way. It spreads the moon rays of good fortune. Now, when the moon rays are coming in the night, then the lilies and lotus flowers, they open up. There are, of course, very dark nights, and I think we experience right now in this period very dark night. Oh, they become more. When we started the tour, at least, it was very, very dark. I remember. Now it must come slowly lighter. The moon must come again. So when the moon is there, then the lotus flowers blossom in the night. They go out. They close in the evening and they come up. So the chanting is like this, that when it is, when you chant properly, when the holy name is heard, the fire of Sankirtan really burns. Sankirtan means not, in this connection, not book distribution. It means here, the literal translation means to chant the holy name together with others. So if you chant the holy name, it's like the influence of the moon on lotus. Your heart opens actually up. We could see this yesterday. I wished you were all there yesterday. It was so wonderful. It was a very, very happy experience in my own life of Krishna consciousness. See, we had two programs in Kragujevac. Now, Kragujevac is really an unfortunate town. It is a town of the Sastava. Sastava is a car, right? Sastava. And the whole town is more or less involved directly or indirectly in this huge fabrica. Yeah. Directly or indirectly. It's an industrial town, and you can see the people's faces are hard. Actually, when we did it. And it was a hall with 1,000 people, isn't it, Madan Gopal? 1,000 people. Our mystical man, Madan Gopal and Vindhyavali, can fill every hall. And in the beginning, it was full, and then I said, well, we want to make a follow-up program, but we want to know, because we want to cook, we want to know how many of you are coming. We wanted to, in other words, to commit them a little bit. And then everyone's hand came up, and again, for the second night, the whole hall was full. It may not be exactly 1,000, maybe 950 or 970, but it was again a full hall with people. Now, these people had chanted the previous night. You know our programs. At one stage, we all asked them to chant the holy name. And these were all people from the school, maybe 18 years old, 19, some were 20 also. And I mean, these people chanted. It was so loud in the audience. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you could see these faces. The girls were all going, you know, from their enthusiasm. Like sometimes our Yugoslavian girls are very temperamental. And Sudarshan was autogram, and they were coming also to, you know, wherever I was, they just like, boom, you know, 50 people, autogram. So it was just so nice to see how they were opening. You know, you were seeing before the stage these people chanting, and their heart just little children, so innocent and so nice. It was very, very moving experience, actually, to see that. So this happens. Shreya Kairava Chandikar Vitaranam. Moonbeam, this is called Chandrika in Sanskrit, has an influence on the heart. The moonbeams have an influence on the white lotus, just like the chanting has an influence on the heart. Now, our main problem is, when we chant, we want to be in Maya. We feel perfectly comfortable of being in Maya. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the worm, who may be an inhabitant of the filthy place, but he just likes to go there. You take him, give him a nice shower with soap, and immediately he goes whoop, back into the dirt. So when we sit down and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we have to confront this psychological dilemma. Our minds are attached to the status quo. That means the Loki Standi. That means the place from where we start our life. Therefore, when you start chanting, the mind doesn't want to listen. Have you made this experience, Arthur? It is afraid. This is our Maharaji has said. It is afraid to be purified. Actually, it doesn't want that. It doesn't want the moonbeams of the holy name, which will beam it, which will beam the dirt away. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us that therefore when one chants, one must be a little disillusioned from material life. One must be actually disgusted. You remember Lord Krishna describes four kinds of people who come to Krishna consciousness, and in his analysis he says one of those is he who is materially exhausted. Also Queen Kunti says, Janmaishvaya Shuddha Shribhir Eramana Mada Tuman Naivarhat Yavidhatum Vai Tvam Akinsana Gocharam. There is someone who still thinks that by my good birth, after all, I'm not a Tsigoinen, I'm a Sapski, and Sap, you know, by my good birth, by my learning, by my beauty, and Janma Aishwarya, by my wealth, here no one is rich. You're only rich in dinars, but this is not so rich. Thousands of dinars is not even one million. It's not so much, isn't it? So much inflation. So, but if you think you're well off with your money, your birth, your beauty, and your shruta means learning, then you will be not able to really approach Krishna with feeling. It's not possible if one is puffed up like this. But we want to be. Therefore, we must chant to Krishna and chant and pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Only then I'm properly situated in my own life of Krishna consciousness. See, in the Upanishads, the word Shreya means fortune. It says by the chanting of the holy name all the fortune comes. The word Shreya is defined. What is actually a definition of Shreya? What is fortune? What would you think this could be? Unending fortune. This is actually a very nice definition which Bhagavan has. I will read you from the Katha Upanishad. Shreyas Chapreyas Samunasya Meta Sto Samparitya Vininak Vidhira Shreya Hidiro Vipreyas Vrinite Preyo Mando Yokakshman Vrinite. Every soul has the option, that means the choice, of accepting one of two ruling and guiding principles. The path of the senses, this is called prayas. What is good for the senses? What immediately is of some benefit? And the path of spiritual well-being, that is shreyas. The wise, after carefully weighing these two, accept the path of spiritual well-being, whereas a deluded soul whose judgment is poor prefers the path of worldly gain and sense pleasures. So this is really shreyas, to decide for those activities which are good in the long term. For instance, to rise up early in the morning. It's not nice for the body, isn't it? The body wants to really sleep. Especially when one is in the mode of ignorance, and that sometimes happens in Beograd, because the town atmosphere is very tamasic, actually. So one doesn't like to sleep. But he who is determined, he will think, well, on the long run, it is good to go up early in the morning. It will help me on the long run. Maybe now it's not so pleasant, but it will help me in the long run. What means in the long run? In the long run. Duge Stase. Sounds almost like ecstasy. Ekstase, isn't it? Duge Stase. Dugistase. In the long run, we should always understand in the human form of life that what is good in the long run. For sometimes one thinks temple life is so disciplined. I want to go to Novishad and sleep. You know, or so on and so forth. But in the long run, this stragost, this austerity which you do every day, is good for you. It cleanses the soul. So a wise man will always do what is good in the long run, and then foolish, a bhutalats, will only do what is good immediately and harmful at the end. Like, you know, all this is so much embedded in the mentality, the children we have to tell, please brush every day your teeth. I can tell you, I didn't do it, and I have so many holes. Just brush your teeth if you have. But someone who has no intelligence, he thinks, no, brushing the teeth, I'm losing so much time. I want to eat with the teeth, not brush the teeth. They're meant for eating, not brushing. Because he is not understanding that in the long run he will be benefited by this little stragost of brushing the teeth, he has to run every day to the dentist. Yes. So this in Krishna consciousness we must understand to do the shreya, what is good in the long run, and by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this becomes automatically known to us, because the chanting of the holy name in essence gives us a higher taste. It's we will feel a little bit of the Chladini Shakti, that's the spiritual energy, and we will talk more tomorrow about this, because now we have made many points, and I do not want to make more, because then it's very difficult to remember all of them. Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much for listening attentively. You really tried hard and you were successful to some extent. Thank you very much. It is a subject matter which is very important. I think you understand, you feel this. Is it important for your life to hear this? Yeah, it helps very much to understand this in an analytical way. So there's many there. You can actually, we can be sure if the Supreme Personality of Godhead tells, I mean Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he tells, makes 8 instructions and nothing more, then you can be sure there's a lot of knowledge within these instructions. So Hare Krishna, let us end here. Do you have any questions regarding these subjects? Srinivas. There are the Veds have been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita to be manifold. One Ved is, let me see if I can get them all together, Pratishta, that is the desire to have fame, to be honored. Another Ved is Kutinati, that means diplomatic behavior. Where you do not tell the truth, to be where you tell some lies to get some benefit for yourself. Another Ved is Jiva Hingsa, that means violence towards other living entities. In Krishna consciousness, we understand violence in a very broad term. It's also violence if we do not give someone Krishna consciousness, if we don't help them to advance. For instance, if I talk Prajalpa with Bhaktazale, I'm committing violence towards him with this definition. It's a very broad definition, as you get, because I'm not helping him in Krishna consciousness, but in the opposite direction, I'm being an obstacle. Jiva Hingsa, Kutinati, Pratishta. Oh, then there is activity which is not acceptable on the path of bhakti, like breaking the principles, for instance. That's a Ved. And there are a few other Veds also. So sometimes it happens that these become very strong, these Veds, and they create a danger for our Bhakti Lata Beach, our plant of some. Only a very sincere devotee will sometimes be able to distinguish the real plant from the Ved. Sometimes you think it's all right, I know everything because I'm a bhakta. I'm Krishna conscious. I know everything. But what you think you know everything, that what you think is your knowledge, is only maybe you're falsely puffed up. Yeah. So if you are only a sincere devotee, can make the difference. It's just like if you go into the herbal garden. Herb? What is herb? Eka. No, bilka, not bilka. Bilka is a plant. What? trava. The trava, yes, the herb. You have to, when you go into the trava garden, you have to really know what is what. Otherwise, you take the grass and put it in the tea and make a grass tea. It's not so, I don't know what is a grass. I've never tasted a grass tea. Maybe it has some benefits also, but you know what I want to say. You really have to know. And then devotion is right. Therefore, the scriptures give us a good explanation. A wonderful explanation of the weeds of material which come in devotional service can be found in the chapter Gundicha Marjanado, the Marjanam, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is also analyzed in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami, where Mahaprabhu gives the analogy that of the plant, which is the Bhakti Lata beach. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting subject to read. I find personally the best analysis is in this cleansing of the Gundicha temple. There is, Prabhupada quotes passages from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation. Mm-hmm. Maravinda Puri Prabhu? Love, yeah. No, it refers to something which you do, which just comes on its own. Subconscious, unconscious chanting. It's not that you chant and while you chant you become inattentive, but it's something which comes on its own. The example is given in one of the Puranas of a Muslim who eats rotten meat and as a result has to, has a disturbance of the intestines and goes into the forest to pass. He passes and passes and doesn't stop passing. Svini, pig, smells it and becomes highly, his appetite becomes stimulated and he wants to now eat this. This is, I know it's not good to hear before breakfast. he runs and he cannot wait because the poor Muslim cannot get up and go away, and he runs and attacks the poor Muslim with one of his tusks and just kills him. So this poor fellow, he screams out, "Haram! Haram! Haram!" Haram means condemned in the Muslim language. And he, because he's landing in his stool, he just dies in the stool. I mean, he just screams, "Haram!" Now he chants the name Rama. Ram is there. And it's described he gets liberation from material existence. And this is something which happens. He didn't consciously glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form. Also, sometimes in the sleep it comes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or when you have a devotee sometimes in a car accident, it just comes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it comes automatic. It's not a conscious endeavor for them. And they may be full of strach when they chant, I'm sorry, full of fear when they chant this. It's not that when someone chants japa and sits down and becomes inattentive. This is not meant. Yeah. Panamabha. This is very, yes, this is the analysis. Mm-hmm. This is Namabha's chanting. Namabha's chanting means It is not the pure chanting, it is a mixture. And one of the Namabhasa chanting is this unconsciously chanting, not with full end. You can also say unintentional chanting like that, to make it more. Yes, there was some question. Yes, Maladi. Yes. Mm-hmm. Go to master. Mm-hmm. Hear another's voice. Mm-hmm. 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 This will be the last. We will finish our class after this answer because I see it's getting a little late already. This practice comes from the old days where Srila Prabhupada would go into the temple room and chant with the different devotees together. He would sit and chant, and the devotees would sit in his association and also chant. And they felt very happy in that association, and also benefited, because it is said in the scriptures about which deal with chanting, like Harinam Chintamani. Actually one scripture that if you cannot chant concentrated, you have to take the association of pure devotees who can chant properly and learn in their association to chant properly. You see the example of the pure devotees, and that inspires you to do likewise. So when a this is the origin of this practice, and in our movement also devotees therefore put the chanting of the holy of the name of their spiritual master sometimes in the background. Now, in order that this is a good practice, we want to be it a good practice, it should be not louder than your own chanting. In chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you have to chant and hear what you chant. Not that you hear some the chanting of the spiritual master as and that counts as your own chanting. Otherwise, for instance, we could just hear a tape and move our beats and not say anything, because with the logic, well, he can speak it much purer than me and it will have a better effect. But this is not what is meant with japa. Japa is you pronounce the holy name and you hear that pronunciation. That is the meaning of japa. It's a spiritual practice. So if you have the tape in the background, it will, you know it is there, and you will automatically chant better. I sometimes also hear Srila Prabhupada's tape in the background, and it always reminds me to chant good rounds, to be attentive, especially when he all of a sudden says, sit properly. You know, then you go like, do you know this Prabhupada tapes where he says, sit properly, he says, you really go like, and it really wakes you up. But it should not be practiced as a diversion. This is a fact. It could be, it can be practiced as a diversion, but this is not the idea. This is not the intention, actually. Mm-hmm. So it is a good practice if it is done with this understanding, that we just feel the presence of our spiritual master, and that will help us to chant better rounds like that. Mm-hmm. Good. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.